Galatians chapter 2. Sermons by Paul C. Jong. Sermon 2. The life of the righteous who lives by faith in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, not by the law. Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 through 21. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Glad to see you. This evening, I would like to share grace together with the words from Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 to 21. Did you all have a good meal? You did. That is good. Once a person's stomach is full and their mind is at peace, the Word of God enters their heart well, and so on. If your mind is noisy and you are hungry, you cannot hear the Word of God. Therefore, have a good meal. Put your mind at ease, and let us examine the Word together. This book called Galatians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote until his life sap was drained. A normal letter usually ends in just one or two pages, but this letter continues straight from chapter 1 to chapter 6. In it, the same words are repeated and repeated again. Why would he have repeated the same words like that? If the people had understood well enough that the Apostle Paul did not need to say the same words, he would not have written it this long. However, false teachers had come into the Galatian church and were shaking the people's hearts. What those people said was, they taught, "It is good to believe in Jesus, but if you want to become true people of God, you must receive physical circumcision, and you must also keep the law of Moses. This seems like no big deal, right?" However, this is a very big problem. The reason is, once you start adding the deeds of the law to salvation, as a result, that salvation which Jesus accomplished once and for all is shattered into pieces. The Apostle Paul wrote all 6 chapters of Galatians just to try and block this one thing. So, how urgent must the Apostle Paul's heart have been? We must read this letter with such a heart. Now please take a look at verse 16 of the main text. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. What is this one verse asking us? It is asking the most fundamental question of how a person is recognized as a righteous person before God, and how one stands as a person without sin. Everyone, how does a person become righteous? Does it happen by one's own effort? Does it happen by one keeping the provisions of the law well? Does one become righteous by doing early morning prayers every day, paying tithes well, and volunteering a lot? The Apostle Paul firmly nails it down. And not by the works of the law. He is saying, that is not it. If a person could be justified by the works of the law, the Apostle Paul would not have even written this letter. Also, Jesus would not have come to this earth. Also, Jesus would not have died on the cross. If a person could become righteous by making an effort, what reason would there be for God the Father to send His only begotten Son down to this earth? However, people do not know that. So they constantly try to add their own righteousness. They constantly try to make righteousness through the deeds of the law. Inside the Galatian church, that appeared in the form of circumcision. It was in the manner of, "We believed in Jesus, But shouldn't we still receive circumcision once to be true people of God? To us today, it appears in a different form, in the manner of, I believed in Jesus, but I still must do daily prayers of repentance so that sins are eliminated. In the manner of, I believed in Jesus, but I still must pay tithes well to receive blessings. In the manner of, I believed in Jesus, but I still must quit drinking, quit smoking, and live holily to be truly saved. These are all exactly the same. They are all trying to add one's own deeds to salvation. Everyone, listen carefully. Let us make one thing clear. It is the fact that a person cannot be justified by the works of the law. The Apostle Paul goes so far as to say this, "For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. It means there is not even a single person. No one born on this earth can remove their sins by the works of the law. One cannot become a clean person before God by one's own effort. If that were possible, Jesus would not have needed to come. But everyone, then why was the law given? The question will arise as to why God gave the law, if the law cannot save us. The Apostle Paul personally tells us in another place, "It is that the law is a mirror that makes us realize our sins. Without the law, we do not even know whether we are sinners. Without the law saying, 'Do not steal,' one does not know that one's stealing is a sin. Without the law saying, 'Do not lie,' one does not know that one's lying is a sin. The law is a mirror that reflects to us how great a sinner one is, and it is a guide that shows us to stand before that mirror, realize one's filthiness, and find a way to live. Therefore, the law is not the way that saves us, but a signpost that makes us set out to find the way to be saved. Now, then, how do we become righteous? In the latter part of verse 16, the Apostle Paul gives the answer, "But by faith in Jesus Christ." It means that one becomes righteous only by that faith which believes in Christ Jesus. However, here we must point out one thing very precisely. It is the question of what on earth it means to believe when we say, believing in Jesus Christ. Do we become righteous if we just believe to the extent of, Jesus is a great person, he died on the cross for our sins? Today, almost everyone inside Korean Christianity believes like that. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the blood of the cross, so I am saved. They say it like that. But everyone, if you only believe like that, are the sins inside your heart eliminated? Does your conscience truly become clean? If that is truly so, why do those people have to do prayers of repentance every day? It is because their own conscience constantly reflects their sins and condemns them. So they must kneel every day and beg, saying, Lord, I did wrong again. I sinned again. What kind of salvation is that? That is not salvation. That is just acting as a slave to sin exactly as before. Now, then, what is the true faith of salvation? It lies in knowing exactly the truth of how Jesus saved us. We are not saved merely by Jesus dying on the cross. Before that death on the cross, there is the fact that Jesus received baptism from John the Baptist at the Jordan River. That is clearly recorded in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Jesus went to John the Baptist and said, "It is fitting for me to be baptized by you." And when John the Baptist said, "How dare I?" Jesus said, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And he personally received baptism. Everyone, why would Jesus have received baptism? Is he not someone without sin? Why would someone without sin have to receive the baptism of repentance that sinners receive? That is not because of his own sin. It was to take upon his own body the sins of us, that is, the sins of all humanity, once and for all. Looking at Leviticus chapter 1, verse 4 in the Old Testament, when the people of Israel committed a sin, That person laid hands on the head of an unblemished animal. What did that laying on of hands mean? It means, I transfer my sin to this animal. Then, that animal was killed while bearing that sin and paid the price of the sin. That was the law of the laying on of hands in the Old Testament. And looking at Leviticus chapter 16, verse 21, once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest laid both hands on the head of a live goat and transferred the sins of the whole congregation of Israel to that goat. The picture of that goat bearing all those sins, being sent into the wilderness, and being killed was exactly the shadow of the baptism that Jesus Christ received from John the Baptist at the Jordan River. Everyone. Then what happened when Jesus received baptism at the Jordan River? The sins of all our humanity were passed over to him once and for all. The next day, the Apostle John saw Jesus and cried out, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. John chapter 1, verse 29. How did he become the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world? It is because the very day before, by receiving baptism from John, he took upon himself all the sins of humanity. That is why Jesus went to the cross while bearing those sins. What died on the cross? Our sin died. By him dying together with our sins, he fully paid the price for those sins. And by resurrecting on the third day, he established us in eternal righteousness. This is exactly the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The water points to the baptism Jesus received, and the blood points to the precious blood shed on the cross. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, it is clearly nailed down, This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. He did not come by water only. He came by water and blood. Neither of the two must be left out. If you separate and believe only in the blood of the cross, that is a half gospel. That is not the gospel of salvation accomplished once and for all. Everyone, when the Apostle Paul says in verse 16 that it is through faith in Jesus Christ, does it not become clear now what kind of faith that faith is? It is the faith that believes in the heart, the entire gospel of salvation accomplished once and for all. The fact that Jesus took upon himself all our sins, once and for all, through the baptism he received at the Jordan River. The fact that he hung on the cross and bled to death while bearing those sins. And the fact that he resurrected on the third day and justified us eternally. This is the exact content of the faith believing in Christ that the Apostle Paul spoke of. Only upon this faith is a person justified. Now, then, look at verse 19. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. It seems like the Apostle Paul is saying something strange, right? What would the words, through the law, died to the law, mean? What this means is that the Apostle Paul was originally a person who tried to keep the law more zealously than anyone else. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul even boasted about what kind of person he was. He said he was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee concerning the law, a persecutor of the church concerning zeal, and blameless concerning the righteousness of the law. He was a person who kept the law to the death like that. But at the end of all those efforts of the law, what was it that he discovered? It was the fact that he himself could not be justified. The law killed him. The law reflected to him like a mirror how great a sinner he was, and made him realize that he could by no means become righteous by his own effort. Therefore, through the law, he died to the law. The old man who relied on the law died, and now he came to live toward God, not the law. Everyone, this step is very important. If the mind that one can create salvation by the works of the law does not die, true salvation does not come. For a person who hangs on to their own effort to the end, there is no empty space for the salvation of Christ to enter. The illusion that one can create one's own righteousness must be shattered to pieces. Ah, I absolutely cannot do it. My sins do not disappear by my effort. Even if I pray prayers of repentance all my life, my sins remain as they are. Even if I enter a monastery and discipline myself for my whole life, my heart does not become clean. One must stand in this place of despair at least once. Only the person who has stood in that place comes to receive in their heart the righteousness that Christ accomplished once and for all. Verse 20 is the most famous verse in the entire book of Galatians, and also the deepest verse. Let us read it together. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Everyone, what is this one verse saying? The Apostle Paul clearly says that I have been crucified with Christ. However, this is not merely a figurative expression. It means that event truly happened. Then how could the Apostle Paul have been crucified together with Christ? Has the Apostle Paul ever been crucified together on Jesus' cross? No. But how can he say he was crucified together? Right here is the gospel of the water and the Spirit. When Jesus received baptism at the Jordan River, all our sins passed over to him. The Apostle Paul's sins also all passed over to him at that time. And when he, who bore our sins, was crucified and died, those sins were executed. Then, wouldn't the old man who was bound to sin also have been executed together with those sins? The Apostle Paul's old man died together at that time. That is why the Apostle Paul said that I have been crucified with Christ. If you separate and look only at the blood of the cross, this word is not resolved. How can I say that I have been crucified with Christ? However, when you look at it knowing the fact that all my sins passed over to him through the baptism Jesus received, only then is this word resolved. When my sins were executed on the cross, my old man who was bound to those sins was also executed together in him. Then, what about the resurrection? When he lived again in 3 days, we also lived again as a new man in him. That is why the Apostle Paul continued and said, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." The old man has already died with Christ. Who is this person living now? It is the new man who has lived anew in Christ. That person who lived under the guilt and condemnation of the old nature is no more. The person who received a new creation is living. Everyone, how amazing a truth is this? We did not merely receive the eradication of sins. We are those whose old man died and who lived again as a new man. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, the Apostle Paul personally said, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." It is a new creation. It is a person who has been newly created. Not an old religious person struggling to make one's own righteousness, but a new creation who is clothed with the righteousness of Christ and lives within that righteousness. Now then, how must the new creation live? The latter part of verse 20 tells us, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." It is living in faith. In what kind of faith? It is in faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Everyone, listen carefully to this one phrase. The Apostle Paul said, "who loved me and gave himself for me." He did not say loved us and for us, but me. It means that the Son of God gave his own body for the Apostle Paul himself, one person. What this means is that the Apostle Paul received that love as his own matter. It means he engraved in his heart, not vaguely, "Jesus died for humanity," but "Jesus gave his own body right for me, for this one sinful person, Paul." Everyone, this is true faith. It is not a vague faith, but a faith received as one's own matter. My sins entered into that baptism the Lord received. The price of my sins was paid by that blood the Lord shed. I lived again as a new man. Within that resurrection, the Lord resurrected. This must become one's own matter to be true faith. And living every day within this faith is the life of the righteous. The life of faith is done by faith. It starts with faith, lives by faith, and finishes with faith. Everyone, you must absolutely not try to do the life of faith by works. If you try to do it by works, you cannot even go a few days. One did a bit well yesterday, but committed sin again today. Then, one's conscience condemns oneself. You did wrong again. You failed again. Then the heart collapses. So one prays prayers of repentance again, spends a few days well again, collapses again, and goes up and down like that for a whole lifetime. What kind of life of faith is that? That is a punishment. However, a person who lives within faith is different. Even when one showed lack today, even when one made a mistake, even when a wrong thought came up in one's mind, that person does not look at one's own works, but looks at that righteousness Christ accomplished once and for all. The Lord bore all my sins once and for all. The lack I showed today, and the lack I will show again tomorrow, He bore them all at that time. All my sins passed over to Him. I am a righteous person in Him. It is living every day within this faith. Then the heart does not shake. The conscience does not condemn. There is peace. And upon that peace, being thankful for the love one received, one comes to live offering one's time, material wealth, and talents to the work of letting even one more soul be saved from sin. Now, look at verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. With this one phrase, it heavily drives in the wedge. The Apostle Paul is saying, if a person could become righteous by the works of the law, it means Christ died in vain. It means the death of Christ became vain. Everyone, listen carefully. Whenever we try to add our own works, efforts, and religious righteousness to salvation, we are making the death of Christ vain. I believe in Jesus, but still I must pray prayers of repentance every day for sins to disappear. The moment one says this, that person is making the righteousness Christ accomplished once and for all vain. I believe in Jesus, but still, one must keep the law well to be truly saved. The moment one says this, that person is insulting the cross of Christ, because it is saying that the righteousness Christ accomplished once and for all is not enough, and that one must add to it. Everyone, how scary of a thing is this? It seems one does so from a heart wanting to live godly, but in reality, one is destroying the ministry of Christ. Therefore, the Apostle Paul firmly drives in the nail. I do not set aside the grace of God. It means he will by no means abolish the grace of God. It means he will not make the death of Christ vain by adding his own works. It means he will stand to the end upon that righteousness Christ accomplished once and for all. Everyone, we too must stand in this place. As we live every day, we can show things that are lacking. We also make mistakes. Wrong thoughts of the mind also come up. However, all of those things must not become a reason to add our righteousness. We must not go back to the law again with our lack as an excuse. We must stand to the end upon the righteousness of Christ accomplished once and for all. The more one lacks, the more gloriously his righteousness shines. When one is weak, his strength comes alive within oneself. Therefore, the Apostle Paul confessed in another place, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, let us summarize. The words from Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 to 21, are driving a nail into one fact for us. It is the fact that a person becoming righteous is not by the works of the law, but by the faith believing in Jesus Christ. And that faith believing in Christ is not a half faith that only detached the blood of the cross, but the faith believing with the heart the entire gospel of the salvation accomplished once and for all. That Jesus bore all our sins once and for all through the baptism he received from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, died shedding blood on the cross while bearing those sins, and resurrected to justify us permanently. Upon this faith, we become those crucified together with Christ. We become those whose old man died and who lived again as a new man. And that new man lives every day, not in works, but in faith. It is living in the faith, believing in the Son of God, who loved oneself and gave his own body for oneself. Even when one's lack is seen, one stands upon that faith, and even when one's mistake is revealed, one stands upon that faith. One by no means abolishes the grace of God by adding one's own works. One stands to the end upon that righteousness Christ accomplished once and for all. Everyone, the life of faith is done by faith. The start is faith, the living is faith, and the finishing is faith. It cannot be done by works. It absolutely cannot be done. Just as the Apostle Paul rebuked in Galatians chapter 6, verse 13, the sight of people who themselves have never kept the whole law, placing the burden of the law on other people, we too must cut off every day the impulse of that old nature, trying to make one's faith into works. And we must stand newly every day upon the gospel of salvation accomplished once and for all. Everyone who is in this place today, where is your faith standing right now? Is it standing upon your own works? Or is it standing upon the righteousness of Christ accomplished once and for all? If you are suffering every day between guilt and condemnation, it is because you are failing to stand upon the righteousness of Christ and are trying to stand upon your own works. Come back again. Stand again upon that truth that all your sins passed over to him through the baptism Christ received, that he paid all the price of those sins on the cross, and that he resurrected and made you live as a new man. And how must a person who stands upon this truth live? Because the love one received is so great, following that love, one lives offering one's time, material wealth, and talents, in order to let even one more soul hear the same truth. One is honestly loyal to one's duty and lives like a person of Christ in one's home and workplace. That is the natural flow of a new creation. Everyone, let us by no means forget this truth. That truth, the Apostle Paul fought to protect across 6 chapters of Galatians until his sap was drained. Namely, the truth that we became righteous by the faith believing in Christ and not by the works of the law. The truth that Christ saved us once and for all with the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The truth that therefore we were crucified to death together with Christ and lived again as a new man. And the truth that new man lives every day in faith. Let us live, holding on to this truth to the end. Only the one who stands upon this truth is a truly righteous person. Only the one who stands upon this truth is a truly free person. Only the one who stands upon this truth is a person who truly gives glory to God. Let us pray together. God the Father, thank you for engraving once again in our hearts the gospel of salvation accomplished once and for all, even at this time today. Let us cut off every day the impulse of the old nature, trying to make righteousness by the works of the law. And let us live the life of a new man in him every day, as those crucified together with Christ. Let us live without shaking in that faith, believing in the Son of God, who loved us and gave his own body for us. And let us live offering ourselves to the work of letting even one more soul be saved from sin, following that received love. Let us by no means abolish the grace of God, and let us stand to the end upon the gospel of salvation accomplished once and for all. I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.